Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Teardrops and Flip-Flops by Lark Griffing. Narrated by Amy Melissa Bentley. Part 1. Chapter 1. Ruby chewed on the end of her pen, concentrating on her newest list. Retirement. George looked over and noticed her scowl. He studied her for a moment, and his heart swelled with love. This woman, his woman, he loved her the moment he set eyes on her so many years ago. She was fiery and stubborn and full of adventure. So different from him. He remembered the first time he saw her. She stood on the top of a bale of straw, her hands on her hips, her auburn hair shining copper in the sun. She was barking orders to two young men, telling them where to move the other bales in order to set the stage for the photographs of the children. Ruby was in charge, and she would be damned if it wasn't going to be perfect. He jumped in and followed her every direction. She leaned on him, and he made things happen. Everything fell into place from there. That was their senior year in college. They dated for 6 months, he proposed, she said yes, and that was that. He always knew she was just comfortable with him. He suspected she loved him, but wasn't in love with him. George was sorry she missed that in her life, but he had it, and he loved every day of it. She scowled again and jotted something else on her list, a sea-green 3x5 card charged with keeping her world in order. She had a stack of them next to her chair, color-coded, regulated to different aspects of her life. Her life. Not what she expected, he knew that. She yearned for adventure. He yearned for family. Neither of them got their wish. All her dreams of adventure buried under her workload, and his dreams of children dashed by infertility. Why are you scowling? What is it that makes that pretty face of yours look sad?
I was just thinking.
That's what I was afraid of. You thinking often equals me working. He smiled at her indulgently, remembering the brick walkway she was just thinking about one day that took him 3 weekends and then a call to a landscaper to finish. He just wasn't the handy type.
I was thinking about when we retire, what we can do.
We can do anything we want. Just name it. I am at your service. He figured she would want to get a condo somewhere on a beach, or maybe cruise around Panama. That wasn't his idea of a good time. He was a homebody, and would rather stay in his easy chair and watch the most recent loss of his favorite Cleveland sports team.
I want to buy a trailer and travel the country living like gypsies. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Ruby turned and looked at him, her eyebrows raised in excitement, her beautiful green eyes flashing with a quest for adventure. George groaned inwardly. Here we go again, he thought. 5 years ago, it was the Appalachian Trail. 2 years ago, it was the Camino de Santiago. She dreamed, she read, she watched videos. Of course, it didn't happen. It never did. Time didn't allow such dalliances. At least this time, it didn't involve walking hundreds, perhaps thousands of miles. He smiled brightly at her and made a non-committal guttural noise. Ruby sighed. She knew that sound. That was George's way of humoring her without starting an argument.
She knew he would never go for her idea. Sure, he would placate her, maybe even go to an RV show with her to feed her dream. But deep inside, he would hope for her to move on to the next idea, the next imagined adventure. If he waited long enough, she would. He thought it was because she eventually lost interest in the idea. The truth was, she just gave up. She knew when things were hopeless. She had learned that during her early years, those tender, formative years of childhood. That part of her was bottled up tightly, never to see the light of day. George just figured she was flighty, moving from one set of dreams to another. What he didn't know was she figured out a long time ago when to cut her losses. Ruby chewed her pen some more and added to the list. Assateague Island, Mount Washington, Newfound Gap, Canyon of the Ancients. All the places she had dreamed of seeing or had read about when she was a kid, using her imagination to escape the special kind of horror that only she knew. George understood when he had to make an accommodating move. He put down his newspaper and peered over his cheaters.
So, what's on your list? Different kinds of travel trailer things?
He asked, trying hard to feign interest. He knew better, though. She knew him inside and out. There was no fooling her.
Okay, seriously. I could think about it. What, you want to be like those people we saw on the TV the other night? The ones who sold everything and lived in their motorhome?
No. Ruby laughed at the thought of George leaving his beloved chair and giant TV to travel in a house on wheels. I couldn't torture you that much. I was thinking more like traveling a few weeks at a time, seeing the country, and then coming home so you could, you know, decompress or something. She smiled, encouraging him to warm to the idea. But there are so many places I want to see. I mean, I love the vacations we've taken. The Caribbean cruise was very nice. And DC in the spring, with all those cherry blossoms, were beautiful. But traveling the open road, going wherever we want, whenever we want, would be amazing. With that, Ruby scribbled two more places on her mint green index card. Juneau, Alaska, and Banff, Canada.
I think that sounds
interesting, dear, said George with as much enthusiasm as he could muster.
You work on your ideas and let me know what you think. I'm going to take a shower and turn in early. It was a hard day at the office today, and I'm feeling tired.
George rose and tenderly kissed his wife of 24 years on the top of the head. Her hair was silky and warm.
We've got time to plan. We won't be retiring anytime soon,
sighed George, as he contemplated the next 19 years of working at the accounting firm. Most people would find that idea frightening. Ruby certainly would. But he found comfort in the routine. Order was his mantra. He climbed the stairs, thinking he felt so tired that night. Not good. Not good at all. As he turned the corner, he looked one last time lovingly at his wife, his angel. It was okay that she didn't love him with the passion that he felt for her. He just felt lucky to have her in his life. But a travel trailer? Ugh, the thought pained him.
Chapter 2 Ruby had a hard time concentrating. She was editing an article about the horror of tan lines, and she just wasn't feeling it. Usually, she enjoyed the weird things she learned when she edited. The company she worked for provided writing and editing services, and she worked on everything from textbooks to magazine articles. Not only did her job provide her with a living wage, but Ruby was now an expert on the proper way of rolling on a condom with panache, making the perfect mojito, and historic myths about our founding fathers that don't hold water. Overall, the condom article was one of her favorites, although obtaining semen from a prize racehorse for artificial insemination was a close second. Despite the fascinating tan line dilemma, Ruby's thoughts kept wandering to life on the road in a camper. It had been 3 weeks since she had first broached the subject to George. Once, over a particularly fine meal of beef Wellington at the Greenland Tavern, she tried again, regaling him with information about trailers that sported recliners and an outdoor TV. George tried to be enthusiastic, but the Wellington had left his stomach queasy, and he had spent the evening popping Tums. The ringing of her phone interrupted her musing, and she reached absently for it. "Hello, this is Ruby. How may I help you?"
"Ruby, it's Tom. I'm sorry."
"Tom? Why are you calling me? What's going on?" There was an awkward silence. The sound of a clearing throat. "Is something wrong with George?"
"Oh God, Tom, what happened?" "Ruby, you have to get to General right away. They've taken him by ambulance. I think it's his heart." "I'm so sorry, Ruby. If there is anything I can do, anything the firm can do, please let me know."
Ruby burst through the elevator doors, looking around wildly for anyone to help her. A woman in blue scrubs covered with happy puppy dog faces cupped Ruby's elbow with her hand and gently guided her to a reception desk.
"My husband. I'm trying to find my husband. They said this floor. I think his heart."
"What's your name, honey?"
asked the woman behind the desk, with the expansive bosom and warm, calming smile.
"And what is your husband's name?"
"George. His name is George. George Dunning. I'm Ruby. His wife, Ruby."
Her hands flew to her hair, trying to pat down the flyaways, vaguely aware she might be disheveled.
"Ah, here he is, George Dunning. They are getting him ready for surgery right now. I have some paperwork for you."
The woman with the comforting, soft curves glanced behind Ruby, catching the slight shake of the head from the dog scrub lady. Ruby caught the exchange.
"Wait, what? What's wrong? Surgery?"
The cheerful puppy once again took Ruby's elbow and led her down the hall. She began to speak in a quiet, comforting voice.
"Your husband has had heart issues. He is being prepped for surgery. I don't know if I can get a doctor to speak with you just now. They are getting prepared, but I will see what I can do."
She guided Ruby to a hard, orange plastic chair situated by a glossy, wide-leaf plant and a contemporary painting of an angel. Or maybe a flock of birds. It was hard to tell. A set of double doors burst open, and a gurney rumbled toward them at a quick pace. Ruby followed puppy Scrub's gaze and realized her George was on that gurney. She jumped up from the chair and ran to his side. The gurney didn't stop.
"George, I love you, George. You're going to be okay. You have to be okay."
She was running to keep up.
George reached his hand toward hers and smiled a tired smile at her worried face.
Don't worry, sweetheart. I've had the happiest years of my life with you. It's all good.
Don't talk like that, George. The doctors will fix it. I promise, I know they will.
Hush, Ruby. Listen, I want you to be happy. I want you to always be happy. Promise me that.
I am happy. George, you make me happy. I love you.
I know you, Ruby. I know your heart. Get my things from my desk at work.
Excuse me, interrupted an efficient-looking doctor with the most startling blue, cold eyes.
I need to get this man into my operating room.
This man is my husband, and I love him, and I want to know what is going on.
If I stop to explain this all to you, he won't be around to love.
Ruby gasped in surprise, not expecting the brusque manner or the cold, hard reality of his words.
Ruby, I love you. I think this is my last stop. I bought you a...
And with that, George's eyes closed, and the medical crew whisked him away. Puppy Scrubs grabbed Ruby and barred her from following them. Chapter 3. Ruby closed the front door and leaned against it. George's belongings, stuffed in a bag, dangled from her wrist. The house seemed unnaturally quiet. She didn't move. She didn't know what to do. It was over so quickly. There wasn't even time for the surgery. One minute he was talking to her, the next minute his eyes were closed and he was gone. She had no idea how long she stood there. It may have been 5 minutes, it may have been 30, but she didn't move. She just closed her eyes and didn't move. Like if she didn't move, then the world wouldn't shatter around her. Like if she didn't move, everything would hold together. Like if she didn't move, George would still be here, still smiling, still breathing, still freaking living. The minutes ticked by. The bag on her wrist grew heavier. The light shifted in the foyer as the sun changed position. The minutes ticked by. The minutes ticked by. The doorbell rang, sending Ruby into flight. She jumped away from the door and looked around her, as if she didn't know where she was. The doorbell rang again. She turned and opened it, bracing herself for whoever was on the other side. A perky little girl with shiny, straight-cut bangs and a perky pink headband shoved a box of cookies at her. Ruby stared at her, registering the fact that the perky pink headband looked out of place with the uniform she was wearing.
You want to buy some cookies?
The girl beamed at her, showing off her perfectly matched set of missing front teeth.
Just $4 a box. How many do you want?
She stood there, staring at Ruby expectantly. She reached into the plastic bag, still dangling from her wrist. She pulled $10 out of her dead husband's wallet, handed it to the girl, then turned and closed the door. The girl stood, staring at the door. Shrugging her shoulders, she set two boxes of cookies on the porch and carefully counted out $2 change. She set the change on the boxes. A soft breeze blew them off, and they floated to the porch floor. She bent over and plucked the bills off the porch and tucked them under the boxes. Satisfied, she ran down the sidewalk, waving the $10 bill at her mom, who was waiting in the car, staring at her cell phone.
Chapter 4. I took the liberty of having Jenny box up George's things. I'm sorry. It sounds so harsh. I really don't know what to say.
It's okay, Tom. I appreciate everything you and the firm have done. You are so kind.
Ruby stared helplessly at the two cardboard boxes, the testament to her husband's years at the accounting firm.
Take your time in here. There's no hurry. Just have Jenny buzz me when you are ready, and I'll get a couple of the guys to help you carry the boxes to your car.
Tom paused, searching her eyes. Ruby was touched by the kindness and the depth of sadness there.
Ruby, take a few minutes in here. This was such a part of his life. Take all the time in the world.
He squeezed her right shoulder. Absently, she lifted her hand to cover his. They stayed, in that moment, remembering a truly good man. Tom turned and left, closing the door softly behind him. Ruby walked to the desk, George's desk. The boxes were loaded with the odds and ends a desk collects when it is part of a busy work life. Not just the pens and pencils, but the favorite boss coffee mugs and the mustache sticky notes Ruby jokingly bought George one year. Joke's on us, she thought. She reached in and picked up a strange-looking blue ball with tunnels bored through. It was soft and slightly sticky, but not unpleasantly so. She squeezed it. A loud, obscene, wet, farting, crackling sound burst from her fist. Unexpected laughter escaped her lips. Tears streamed down her cheeks as she hiccuped loudly, caught in the wild space between laughter and hysterical sadness. The door opened.
Ruby, honey, are you okay?
Jenny, George's admin, hesitantly crossed the plush carpet, closing the distance between them, but not knowing if she should.
It's okay, Jenny. I just found this.
Ruby gave the ball a hearty squeeze, and the wet sound ripped through the air. Jenny looked surprised, but she saw the smile on Ruby's lips, so she relaxed and laughed quietly.
That was George's favorite desk toy. At least it was after Tom took the rocket launcher away from him.
Ruby looked up, searching Jenny's face.
Rocket launcher?
Yeah, it was from the Desks of Destruction website. That was his favorite place to shop. The rocket launcher could send pencils all the way across the office. Once he was annoyed with Tom. Tom was riding him about something. When Tom turned to leave, George shot him in the ass with a brand new number 2. Tom confiscated the toy. George said he felt violated. Tom gave him the stress ball to make up for it. They were great friends. She smiled a wistful, sympathetic smile.
Ruby, we will miss him so much.
Ruby shrugged her shoulders in a helpless thanks.
Oh, that was insensitive of me, said Jenny. Of course you will miss him more. I didn't mean to.
For the love of God, stop being so freaking socially aware.
It's me, Jenny. Please.
Ruby's voice trailed off as she found she couldn't put the thought into words.
Let me try that again, please. I appreciate your words. Everyone loved George. He was one of the kindest men I know. I am pretty sure everyone will have a hole in their life because he is gone. Yes,
My hole is a lot bigger than everyone else's, but he was such a good man that I expect everyone will have that void for a long time. It's nice to know he was so loved. Jenny wrapped her arms around Ruby, and they held each other, remembering. Chapter 5. Ruby rolled over in bed, absently reaching out to connect, but finding only an empty space. Her heart squeezed as it reminded her that the space next to her would always be empty, the pillow always in the same place, not turned sideways or tossed over her face in the morning, teasing her out of her slumber. She sighed and opened her eyes. Sunlight was streaming through her windows, mocking her with cheerfulness. She groaned. It was Saturday. Saturday. She didn't have to go to work. The day was hers to fill. Every damn freaking minute. Alone. A phone rang. Startled, she looked around. It wasn't her phone that was ringing. It was George's ringtone. What the hell? She rolled over and plucked the phone off the nightstand on George's side of the bed. It was his personal phone. He never used it because he always used the company phone. She had turned that into Tom after the funeral. Hello? Ruby asked hesitantly.
Hello? Is George there, please? An efficient voice said.
I'm sorry. He isn't available just now. She couldn't bring herself to explain to this stranger that George was dead. Gone. Isn't available now, wouldn't ever be again.
Can I help you? I'm his wife.
Sure. This is Kylie at Sunrise RV. The trailer is still sitting here, and we were wondering when he was going to pick it up. All the paperwork is complete, and it is prepped and ready.
Hello?
Ruby flashed back to the hospital. The last time she saw her husband, those last minutes.
Ruby, I bought you up.
No, he didn't. Without thinking, she hung up on the speaker. Sliding her slippers on her feet, she grabbed her robe and headed to the dining room. The boxes from the office still sat on the table, untouched. She looked inside the cartons and pulled out a handful of file folders. The first one held employment papers, reviews, promotion letters, glowing testimonials from clients. The second held printed copies of website pages. Desks of Destruction. George had circled in red new toys he wanted so he could torment Tom. The last folder held some personal papers. There was a title to a safe deposit box, a shipboard photo of the two of them from their honeymoon cruise, and a flyer from Sunrise RV for the strangest-looking trailer she had ever seen. It looked like something from out of the 1920s, a teardrop shape, bright aluminum with shiny red fenders and trim. Sunrise RV. The lady who called. Oh my God. Ruby's heart melted. Ruby climbed into her Jeep Wrangler. She took a deep breath. Each day presented her with something new. A different sadness. A different heart-crushing pain she had to deal with. The first order of business was the safe deposit box. She had forgotten that George had set that up many years ago. She never paid attention to that stuff. George dealt with those details of their life. He was the accountant. Everything in its box, in its place. She was the dreamer. Her life was balanced piles of thoughts and hobbies, to be touched, worked on, then left until it was time to visit again.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?